25 years ago, Indiana didn't have a single commercial casino. Now it has 13. Hi, I'm John Chwanis, and on this edition of Indiana Lawmakers, we'll look at proposed regulatory changes designed to ensure that the bet that Indiana made on casino gaming back in 1993 continues to pay off well into the future, especially in light of ever-growing competition and a recent U.S. Supreme Court ruling that opened the door to legalized sports wagering. Indiana Lawmakers, from the State House to your house.
Purdue startup Speak Modalities, helping children and families coping with nonverbal autism to develop communication skills, helping people, changing lives. Purdue Research Foundation. Contact innovation at prf.org.
As I noted at the top of the show, Indiana's casino industry has evolved significantly over the past 25 years. Initially, the state's riverboat casinos were, well, boats with captains, cruises, life jackets, and set boarding times. And its paramutual horse tracks derive their income solely from horse racing. Now, of course, most of those waterborne casinos have come ashore, and the so-called racinos are filled with slot machines. What's next for the industry? Could it be the relocation of Gary's two casino licenses and the opening of a casino nowhere near Lake Michigan or the Ohio River? The immediate addition of live dealer table games at the racinos? How about legalized sports wagering, including the placement of bets via mobile devices? Joining me to handicap the various proposals are Republican Representative Sean Eberhardt of Shelbyville, whose district encompasses Indiana Grand Casino, the state's second largest gaming operation. Matt Bell, a former state representative and Indiana Gaming Commission chairman who now serves as president and CEO of the Casino Association of Indiana. Former state representative John Keeler, general counsel for Spectacle Entertainment, which is acquiring Gary's two Majestic Star casinos. And Gretchen Gutman, vice president of public policy for Cook Group, parent company of Orange County's French Lick Casino. I know this is a very busy time, so I appreciate all of you coming in to share your wisdom.
Thanks for having us. Thanks, John.
Matt Bell, several lawmakers have said that this session is the most significant since 1993 when the riverboats were born. Do you buy that?
It certainly has the potential to be. When we look at the proposals that are moving, particularly Senator Mesmer and Senator Ford's gaming bill, the changes that are encompassed in that the changes that are encompassed in that bill really have the opportunity to reshape the industry as dramatically as anything has since Indiana adopted riverboat gaming in the early 90s.
And this is not a new issue, Sean Eberhardt, to you. Why do you think that some of the things that you have advocated in the past but never advanced as legislation now seem to be have won newfound support?
Well, John, the policy decision to allow gaming in Indiana happened long before I arrived, and I think now we realize that we're in a partnership with the gaming industry between the state and the gaming industry, and we need to do what we can to keep that industry thriving and healthy. And I think our thoughts as both lawmakers and as policy decision makers have evolved over the years. I mean, we started out cruising the boats down the river, and we then went to dockside, and we've gone to land base, and now we're talking about moving licenses further into the state. And I think it's important that we think out of the box and continue to give the tools to the industry so they can stay competitive.
You talked about keeping the industry thriving and healthy. How would you describe it now?
Well, I mean, they produce a tremendous amount of revenue for the state. And we've seen a lot of pressure from outside the state with Michigan and Illinois and Ohio. And we see it internally with the tribal casino. And again, I think we need to view it as a partnership and allow those folks in the industry to do what they can to stay competitive.
You know, back in 93, if memory serves, and I was there to witness it, the other states that you just mentioned, Representative, that were our neighbors, I think Illinois maybe had given the go-ahead to some riverboats, but they were in Alton or something. There were nothing that was really drawing a lot of Hoosiers, and certainly Michigan and Ohio did not have anything. Are you feeling the squeeze in terms of competition?
Well, we've been feeling the squeeze since, we just got started in 2003. A lot of the other facilities have been in existence a lot longer. And as I tell
law... initially that was going to go to Patoka Lake, but that's federal, and of course federal government says no to gaming, and so then French Lick won out in the end.
Right.
And the, well, for those who are following, quick crash course in history here.
Right, and I think the General Assembly, as you recall, and everybody sitting at the table will recall, extinguished the 11th license. We do not possess a license. We have a contract with the state of Indiana. We got a phone call from then-Governor Mitch Daniels to say, please apply. We were not interested in casino activity. We were about the two historic hotels in French Lick and West Baden. We were about preserving those resources for the state. And that's our mission. Our mission is a little bit different than the other facilities in the state of Indiana. However, we do have a casino, and anytime there is changes in the industry, it impacts our customer base.
You're in the midst of an expansion right now, if I'm not mistaken. 50-plus rooms, a new sports...
68, John.
68. I said more than 50, or 50-plus. A new sports bar, one, right? Okay.
One.
Okay. Is that an indication that you're doing well or an indication that you need to do better?
I think it's an indication that we're always trying to improve our facility. We appreciate the fact that we've worked really hard to get convention business. We can't rely 100% on the casino. Any money that our casino throws off stays with the employees. It gets plowed back into those two historic hotels or it goes out into the community. We are an Indiana company. And all of our revenue stays in Orange County.
John Keeler, you've seen this issue from lots of different perspectives. I'm guessing you, if memory serves, you were among those who voted for this measure back that cleared the way for riverboat gaming back in 1993.
I did.
It is the industry, again, broadly, we'll get into a lot of the specifics of the bills, but is the industry performing the way you thought it would when you cast that vote?
Well, I don't know, frankly, John, if anybody thought how the industry would
Fair
perform.
Answer.
I mean, I can remember that was on the heels of the days when if you wanted to buy a lottery ticket, you had to buy it out of somebody's trunk. We've evolved a long way. But
I'm remembering the Pointer Sisters and George McGinnis doing the first scratch-off, but again, I'm aging myself, so I should stop.
No, but the industry's been a great thing for Indiana. I mean, it's produced countless thousands of jobs and millions and millions and millions of dollars. And I agree with Representative Eberhardt that anything we can do to shore it up and make it more competitive is the right thing for our state.
And I think timing is important because as productive and as important to the Hoosier economy as the gaming industry has been, when we take a step back today, revenues are about 31% below where they were at their peak in 2009. We continue to employ more than 12,000 Hoosiers. The investments in local communities are incredibly significant. But I think policymakers are grappling with, if we have an industry that's plateaued or even begun some soft decline, do we need to make adjustments? And how do we do that and maintain stability and attractiveness for investment?
What would be the trajectory if nothing is passed? And again, I think that's unlikely. But if nothing were passed right now, yes, there was that sort of decline in revenue from the peak, granted. But if you look, for instance, year over year, 2017, 2018, the industry, I think, is, statewide actually was $1 million. Granted, that's pocket change in the scheme of things, over where it was. Does that suggest that some of the measures that have already been in, tax tweaking of the tax code and so forth, or just a familiarity with competition, that it's stabilized? What would happen if we didn't have this?
So we've certainly stabilized over the last few years. But I think you'd see a plateau with potentially a gradual decline because more competition will come. Illinois has argued for years that they will eventually put more casinos in Chicago and Danville and in areas that will attract Hoosiers. Kentucky flirts with gaming and gets more and more involved in that year after year. So I don't believe that you can expect that without action the industry maintains or stays stagnant. Working against that are the phenomenal operators that we have. We have some of the best casino operators in the world here in Indiana, and they're innovating every day. They're making investments in their property to bring
I hear it's 68
more
rooms,
amenities.
By the way.
And
one sports bar. I just heard that somewhere.
I think also you have to realize there's a lot of conversation. This is recreation, right? This is I'm going to use my disposable income. I'm going to go to a movie. I'm going to go out to dinner. I'm going to go to a gaming facility. And so I think when we talk about this, we have to think about Where are people in terms of their economic abilities to have some disposable income to go out and use it in that way? So I think this industry is significantly different than, a medical device company or, say, a manufacturing company. It really is driven by how much disposable income do I have and do I feel comfortable going out and using it.
And I suggest one other difference in comparison with other industries might be that it's not monolithic by any stretch of the imagination, as the head of the association well knows when he's trying to herd the cats, because it is sort of the balloon theory. You press an inflated balloon here and it sort of pops out somewhere else in terms of either an positive impact or detriment. So, Representative Eberhardt, how tough is it? You clearly have a pony in this race, so to speak, since you have the second largest casino in your district. How tough is it to look at it in a more universal manner?
Well, I think it is important to be somewhat careful in making sure that the changes that we make don't have a catastrophic effect on the industry. As you said, when we make one change, either, you know, we talked about stabilization. We shouldn't be happy with just being stable. We should continue to add tools to the toolbox for our gaming partners to continue to be able to compete. And whether that includes adding additional gaming options like sports wagering, or whether or not that includes changing the tax structure, which we're discussing that this session, or whether that includes changes to how they operate, which again, we're now in a land-based casino where we can allow land-based casinos, and now we're talking about moving licenses as well. So I think we need to keep an open mind.
Does it make sense to have a lot of these have all been combined? In fact, at least up until maybe the last 48 hours, we all thought that the one bill that was the likely bill, and I see some smiles, maybe still is the likely bill, basically had the whole kitchen sink in it. Is that, Gretchen Gutman, because there are so many different players in this with different interests and stakes in the overall gaming industry, is that the only way to get something like this through? Everybody feels a little pain? Everybody feels a little gain?
Well, I think, as my colleague Matt Bell said, I think it's early in the process, and we'll have to wait.
It's early in the process. Right.
We'll have to wait and see what happens.
Before you adjourn sine die, but...
And so I think we'll have to wait and see what happens. I mean, we're trying to get, obviously you can't have good discussions if you don't get ideas out on the table. And I think that's what the General Assembly is trying to do, is trying to get ideas out on the table and give people an opportunity to discuss them. But I do think, as Representative Eberhardt has heard me say time and time again, there needs to be some recognition of different missions, particularly for my facility, because I am not a casino company. I am two historic hotels that have an amenity there, so that people have something to do 12 months a year. And any changes in the industry, because I don't have a market like the other facilities, and any changes in the markets for other facilities will have an impact on the French Lick Resort.
And I suppose that's why we've seen, even early in the process, amendments designed to keep certain communities whole, or in the case you mentioned, sort of the unique quality of Cook Group and its holdings because of the historic nature. Under one proposal, whoever gets, and we're going to get to what I'm just about to say, whoever were to get, say, a Vigo County license, if that's the way this were to unfold, would pay, for instance, $3 million, if I'm not mistaken, toward the preservation on an annual basis, right, of, and there would other things for breed development in the horse industry, and I think Evansville now maybe stands to make $6 million. Like we say, the balloon is pressing here and popping out everywhere. Let's get down to the meat of the bills this session. And John Keeler, you're smack dab in the middle of it, because the company that you're, relatively new company, formerly Centaur, that sold its two racinos to Caesars last year for $1.7 billion. We'll talk later about your share of that. But now, of course, you're in the process of acquiring the two Majestic licenses, which operate side by side in Buffington Harbor. What is it you want to see happen? If explain
How does this unfold in an ideal sense for your organization?
Well, John,
vis-a-vis those boats.
If I might just add to lay a base, Spectacle Entertainment is an Indiana company. It's owned by all Hoosiers. It's managed by all Hoosiers. It's headquartered in Indiana. And the principals, Rod Ratcliffe and Greg Gibson, saw an opportunity to take two underperforming assets, the two majestic boats in Buffington Harbor, and relocate those with the permission of the General Assembly. And the opportunity that they see, and I think is in the best interest of the state and Gary and Terre Haute, would be to relocate one of those casinos to 8094 within the city of Gary.
There on the Borman Expressway,
that's
highly
right.
Trafficked area.
Highly trafficked area, put it in a good position to compete for business with Illinois, and move the other license to Terre Haute, and that's the way Senate Bill 552 ordains. We believe that would result in substantial new investment, employment, and tax revenues for the state of Indiana.
You're thinking $75 million net, even once factored in the tweaking or adjustments or the fluctuations in existing tax revenues?
That's the number our consultants came up with based on 552 as introduced.
Well, let's stick with 552 for a second, then we'll get into 66 and some of the others as we walk through this. So, Vigo, you'd likely go to Vigo County if the General Assembly blessed this, but there's another wild card, no pun intended, that would come out of Rising Star or Rising Sun Casino, Full House Resorts, which has, I think for several years now, wanted to take its unused positions and move into that market. And at least, I believe the version that's viable at this point would make that as an option. Is that correct? And does it matter to you whether it would be, now here's what we get into, you have to choose among your children, or do it very delicately. Does it matter to you where that boat comes from? Do you want to see one in Vigo County regardless of where it comes from?
So we believe, as Ms. Gutman said, that legislation is an evolutionary process. I think that...
As soon as you say it's an early process, it's evolutionary, okay, we'll move on. But no, go ahead.
So Rising Sun has done a phenomenal job over the last few years of really raising interest in the Terre Haute market, and the Terre Haute community deserves tremendous credit for being consistent in their message that they want to see gaming. I don't think there's a statehouse regular who doesn't believe or hasn't heard from Terre Haute that we want to see gaming in our market over the last couple of years. The legislation as written would create a competitive environment in Vigo County where any operator could bid on the right to operate there. If an operator other than the current license holder were to win that bid, they could jointly operate. They could purchase the license from Spectacle. That decision would be made by the Gaming Commission. They would evaluate those proposals. I think as we consider that market, is there promise there? I think market studies demonstrate that there is. But it's about the balloon that you described earlier. How does the presence of a gaming facility in Terre Haute impact properties in southern Indiana, properties in Evansville, properties in Rising Sun, which is an incredibly difficult market? You know, you can't get to that casino across the Ohio River without driving past two others. So I think those are the questions that we're looking at, and our members are trying to say, if we want to create a net positive for the state, how do we do that and maintain kind of the investment structure, the investment stability that we've enjoyed in Indiana over the long term?
And I'm glad you clarified, because when I had cited Full House Resorts and Rising Star as a potential contender for the Vigo County license, I wasn't suggesting that the bill limited it to that.
That's correct.
I'm only saying that that's, as far as I know, the only player to emerge with a great interest or has a track record of
to date.
So you're right, it would open it up. Let's talk about the other bill that sort of was a vehicle bill, now has been altered in some manner. Would also get the boats out of Buffington Harbor so it could become an intramodal transportation hub and compete with Chicago in terms of shipping. The change here, and it may seem subtle, but it's pretty profound, is that the boat that Spectacle presumably will own formally here shortly. And I say boat. They're not going to haul a boat across the state. I'm talking about the license, the casino operation. Could go anywhere in the state that the Gaming Commission deems appropriate. What do you want to see?
Well, it's certainly a different take. I've got great respect for
Senator. I bet it's early in the process, too.
It's evolutionary.
It's evolutionary really in the process.
And the House hasn't had their chance to take a bite at the apple, so we're going to see some significant changes. But it's a different approach, and I've got great respect for Senator Mishler, and I know he's very intent on developing the harbor. And part of that is moving the two licenses, and whether or not the way he wants to do it, is the correct way to do it or not, I'm not sure. We're going to hear about the bill today in committee. We're going to hear it again next Thursday when we hear Senator Messmer's bill in appropriations. And I think that there'll be some consensus that'll be reached within those two bills, we'll come out with a good result, I hope.
Caroline Gutman, is it fair, though, for me to assume that because of your current market position and where you're located in the state, that you would just, rather than see something go to Terre Haute or Vigo County, if you had your way, let's say maybe Angola, maybe Richmond, I'm being facetious, but somewhere as far away in the state as possible, physically as far away, is that right? Or am I oversimplifying?
Well, I always start from the premise of I think the General Assembly has they've set out a good course.
And it's infinite wisdom.
Do we really need to change anything at this particular point in time? Appreciating the fact that the General Assembly comes into session every year and that the laws are always changing, I think the obviously certainty is a little bit better from our perspective. The language in Senate Bill 66 is very broad. It allows a casino to be put anywhere. People have wanted to be in the Indianapolis market. It's the biggest market, and so consequently, you sit there and you think, well, if the objective of the General Assembly is to maximize revenue, well, then why wouldn't you put a casino in Indianapolis?
Because then Sean Eberhardt's going to go ballistic on you here, and because
well,
that's going to cut into.
I'm not sure that Representative Eberhardt and his casino might make a deal with.
There's always a deal.
Right. Huh? But I think the other side of it is what ends up happening. The General Assembly has to take into consideration, to the extent that you do that, what happens to the southern part of Indiana.
Correct. Sure.
John Keeler, I presume that if you even had the latitude as a company to petition the state to go to City X or City Y, that given you mentioned Greg Gibson, who is a Terre Haute business person and is a principal in the company. I'm guessing this was all done with an eye toward Vigo County. Am I right that even if you had the latitude, you would not exercise that prerogative?
You know, you never want to say never, but I want to get back to one point earlier, and that is the advantages of the Terre Haute market for Indiana. And that's an underserved market, and we have the opportunity to preempt Illinois by locating a casino in Terre Haute. And if we don't take advantage of that opportunity, then there's a good chance that one day a casino will be located in Danville, Illinois, and it'll be financially not feasible, you know, to build one in Terre Haute or in Lafayette or any place else.
I don't disagree with John except on one point. I would argue that Terre Haute is a served community because they do have access to French Lick. So it's not as though they have to travel miles and miles and miles. We're an hour away.
We could talk about this all day. I guarantee we could, maybe all night. But let's sports wagering.
Yes, sir.
Which Supreme Court in May, U.S. Supreme Court said, okay, states, the ball's in your court. How important to the casino industry is it that Indiana move forward sooner than later with this?
So it's an amenity. It's one that we would enjoy having at our properties because we think that it gives us the opportunity to draw an audience we don't always reach with traditional casino gaming to our properties, particularly a younger audience. It's important to recognize that it is a high-volume, low-margin business. So when we look at casino properties in Nevada, sports wagering accounts for 2% of their total revenue. So this is not a game-changing revenue enhancement, but it is an important amenity. And just as we've seen other markets siphon Hoosier business, Ohio and Michigan and Illinois, To the extent that we don't enact, we'll see the same thing happen with Hoosier Bettors as they travel to other states.
Or even black market, offshore operations.
Thriving black market, which exists
today. I'm being signaled we're out of time, but I'm going to say, are you supportive of this notion that it needs to happen now and that mobile devices need to play an important part?
Absolutely, I agree. It's one of the simple things in the bill that we can all agree on, but we need to be simplistic to our approach, allow it to happen, set who may carry a license and at what fees, and as tax structure, and leave it up to the regulators to fill in the blanks.
Well said.
All right. Unfortunately, I know it's an evolutionary process, but so is this show. We got to move on. We're going to have to talk about this issue, I think, again before the session's over, clearly. I appreciate your being here to share your thoughts. Again, my guests have been Republican Representative Sean Eberhardt of Shelbyville, Matt Bell of the Casino Association of Indiana, John Keeler of Spectacle Entertainment, and Gretchen Gutman of Cook Group. 46 years after Roe v. Wade legalized abortion, the debate rages on in the General Assembly and on the next Indiana lawmakers. And time now for my weekly conversation with Ed Feigenbaum, publisher of the newsletter Indiana Legislative Insight and its sister publication, Indiana Gaming Insight, both part of Hanna News Service. Ed, SB 552, then comes SB 66. Where do we place our bet?
Yes. I'm kind of surprised that SB 66 didn't come in the form of an amendment to 552, because 552 is still the big overarching bill that's got everything in it, including the sports wagering, which is kind of the raison d'etre for everything to begin with. But I think that the reason that you saw Senator Mishler introduce SB 66 is because he's a little bit concerned, and I think some members of the Senate Appropriations Committee and perhaps Senate leadership are concerned, that the city of Gary is not the appropriate entity to have full control over everything that goes on in this new potential deep water port and transmodal facility. They want some element of state control, given the amount of state money that's going to end up having to go into it, the amount that's going to come out of it, and what's going to happen with the result of it, which is all in 552, the move of the two casinos.
So much more about Buffington, the management of Buffington Harbor.
Yeah, and the state's level of trust in the city of Gary.
Okay. Because we ran out of time, short shrift to sports wagering, which is certainly is not the biggest ticket item, but affects perhaps more people. Where do we stand with that?
Well, it's interesting because if you look at the two polls that have been done, one by IUPUI and one by Ball State University, a majority of Hoosiers do not support sports wagering, but it seems like all the lawmakers do, and there seems to be a groundswell for it. And even before we started hearing where the public stood on these things, on this particular issue, there was a real push to get sports wagering and not to be the last state in the Midwest or in the country to do it. And, Kentucky this week just heard a bill on sports wagering. Illinois is pushing toward it. Indiana wants to be at the head of that curve there.
So come July 1st, do we have sports wagering?
You will have it legalized.
We'll probably be ready for
the Super Bowl. Yeah.
All right.
Not in time for the Final Four.
We'll circle the calendar. Ed, thanks as always for your insight. Much appreciated. For more information, episode streams, and other extra content, visit us on the web at wfyi.org/lawmakers. You can access live streaming coverage of the General Assembly on the Internet as well. And remember, you can get our show on demand from Xfinity. Well, that concludes another edition of Indiana Lawmakers. I'm John Schwanis, and on behalf of WFYI Public Media, Indiana's other public broadcasting stations, and my colleague Ed Feigenbaum, I thank you for joining us, and I invite you to visit WFYI.org for more State House coverage. Until next week, take care.
Purdue researchers are at the top edge of computer technology, 3D design, using hand gestures, extending mobile battery life, leading through innovation and job creation. Purdue Research Foundation. Contact innovation at prf.org.